Welcome to another Chinchilla Squeaks. And this time I actually have two people from a company who I'm quite excited to speak with. I have been wanting to speak with for some time. I almost have this feeling of, I feel like I might have actually spoken to someone from HashiCorp before, but I'm not even completely sure. Not sure. It might have been some time ago as well, something like Vagrant related or something. So it was possibly a little while ago. But today I have Chang and Raymond. And I know you both deal with two different products or projects. So let's maybe just start with quick introductions of what project you work with on HashiCorp, at HashiCorp.
Awesome. And thank you, Chris, for having me here. This is Chang. I'm Chang Li, product marketing for one of the HashiCorp product called Nomad.
Okay. And Raymond, who is having some video issues, but we can hear him. So go ahead, Raymond.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Good morning or good afternoon, everyone, or good evening. My name is Raymond Austin. I'm product marketing for Consul, one of several HashiCorp tools.
Okay. And let's maybe just very quickly start with a little overview of HashiCorp as a whole. And it's a company that in the tech space has been around for a little while, which is probably isn't actually that long, but in the tech space is reasonably long period of time. So where did the company start and kind of what are the aims of the company? And I think this feeds nicely into the products we're here to talk about.
Sure. So our company is a cloud infrastructure automation, providing cloud automation infrastructure tools. I think the goal, the company was founded back in 2012. The goal for our company is really helping organizations, regardless of the scale, to move their workload into a multi-cloud environment in a consistent way. Mm-hmm. And do that through all the critical layer in the infrastructure, including Terraform for provisioning, Vault for dynamic secret or zero trust security, Consul for service networking, and Nomad for orchestration.
Okay. And so Consul and Nomad, how old are they? I think my journey with HashiCorp started with Vagrant, which back in the day, shall we say, like in the days of LAMP stacks and MAMP stacks and WAMP stacks and all those sorts of things, was a groundbreaking tool to enable people to like have Linux machines on their local desktop. And Vagrant is probably a little less used these days, but I think that's where my journey began. And Consul, I've definitely come across more with recently as well. So what's the age of those two projects? And I guess why create them?
Yeah, maybe I'll start on that one. So for Consul, Consul's been around since 2014. It's one of our oldest tools. It's one of the most heavily downloaded tools out there as part of the HashiCorp suite. Initially, it was used as more of a KV store product for Vault, as well as more of a service discovery tool as customers make their journey to cloud-native environments. Some way of sort of tracking the different locations of different services and being able to determine the health of those services. So that was a key use case for Consul for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And then over time, we added new capabilities to Consul to make it a full-fledged service mesh. That was about a year and a half ago. And so, a lot of practitioners and customers use Consul for several major use cases. One, service discovery. Two, service mesh, and then three, they use it for, and this is something we released a couple months ago, Consul Terraform Sync, which is a binary to do networking infrastructure updates. So think of Consul CTS as a sort of a day two way to automate your networking devices. You use Terraform, infrastructure as code, right, to provision your networking devices, and now you can use Consul CTS to then automate sort of the day two activities with the various networking devices.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Nomad is a new one to me. And I sort of read the web page and I'm instantly thinking, how does this compare to Kubernetes, I guess? Okay. So, what is Nomad? And yeah, why create a quote unquote competitor? I don't know, challenger to the large elephant in the room.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I'm happy you asked that question. So I think Nomad is a relatively youngest product, the core products that HashiCorp offers. I think it was born in 2014, probably just a little bit late after Kubernetes was born or created.
Okay.
So the main initial goal for Nomad is really about addressing a different persona. It's about developer community, help them to accelerate their velocity, increase their release frequency, just kind of ease the application delivery workflow for them. And Orchestrator is really kind of the tool in the middle to decouple the tool workflow between developers and operators. Let operator just focus on the fleet management, the infrastructure capacity, and also allow developers to own application lifecycle by themselves, mm-hmm. and give them autonomy, allow them to directly kind of consume Orchestrator in a reliable and responsible way. So this is kind of the initial goal for Nomad. I think there's a lot of different or between Nomad and Kubernetes. I would say there are probably two unique strengths that Nomad has that attract people to adopting or using Nomad. The first is just the operational simplicity. Nomad is a single binary, as all the kind of most of the HashiCorp products, it's only around like 50 megabytes, the last time I checked. It can be installed either as a server or as a client. So it's really kind of lightweight layer. And also, the HashiCorp product has this kind of Unix philosophy, meaning when you design Orchestrator, it should only focus on scheduling and orchestration. So Nomad only do that. Instead of, you know, compared to Kubernetes, like you can do everything with Kubernetes.
Yeah.
So that's why customers choose, especially for, you know, small, medium-sized team or organizations, or doesn't have a fully budget or like a fully staffed a dedicated team to manage their Orchestrator platform on a daily basis, they choose Nomad as a much simpler alternative to Kubernetes. But the second point for Nomad or the strengths is Nomad's now just focused on containers.
Yeah.
So it also supports like legacy applications like Windows, Java application, or even single standalone application binary. Wow. It
vagrant,
has this
vagrant virtual machines.
Yeah, it could be. So because it has this flexible task driver, which expand the workload, you know, not only just containers, but beyond containers, a lot of legacy applications, it allows like a lot of brownfield projects or organization has legacy applications to be able to containerize at their own place. And being able to bring all this modern orchestration benefits or capabilities to their legacy applications without the need to rewrite all of them. So that's kind of a unique advantage that helping organizations have a smooth or faster migration journey.
Okay. And I feel like kind of, because we have two topics at once here, I'm going to try and maintain the same pace with each one. So I'm guessing then that an obvious console comparison is, if I'm correct, things like etcd. Is that a common comparison to console, or have I? Because I always think of console as also service discovery as well, isn't it? I think
that's right. Yeah. So initially it would be comparable to a number of, you know, more service discovery types of tools out there. Over time, as we added new features to make it a viable service mesh, we've been often compared to other more cloud native service meshes out there like Istio or Linkerd.
Yeah.
Of course, our value proposition is to be able to, as Chung talked about, you know, other types of runtime platforms and environments. It's not just relegated to cloud native environments, right? So whether or not you're using it for on-prem or even bare metal server environments, right? Or across multiple cloud environments. If you think about the journey from on-prem to cloud, it differs, right? For each organization. And so we provide a way for, you know, no matter what type of runtime platform you're using, we provide a way for users to, you know, stitch together their applications across these environments.
So, it's interesting because a lot of people are probably, I would say these days, I would guess the most common open sourced tool from HashiCorp is probably Terraform, I think.
Yes. That's
the one I hear the most. So that's a very broad open ecosystem type tool. But in some ways, especially with Nomad, it kind of almost feels like you're creating your own like little alternative world over here. And I suppose the first question would be, how will you learn from the not the mistakes but the the lack of success of things like Docker Swarm and Apache Mesos that just, they're still there, but they're not as successful as Kubernetes, and also kind of maintain, I guess, interoperability with the wider ecosystem without, you know, shooting yourself in the foot in terms of potential customers and things like that. Yeah, how are you going to walk that line?
That's a great question. To answer your first question, it's like what we learned from the previous incumbents like Mesos or Docker Swarm. I think when we're in the orchestration market, we have to say this is not like one tool fits all. And I think the customers and the market both matured rapidly in the past 1 or 2 years. I think people already lot of evaluation of their day zero, day one experience gained through this, you know, orchestration adoption or container adoption journey. I think people realize this is not like Kubernetes can't self address all the use cases they have, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the lesson we learned is the reason Nomad exists or people are choosing organically adopting Nomad is because Nomad is different from Kubernetes. We address the white spaces or some underserved area that Kubernetes couldn't address. Yeah. For example, on-prem deployment.
Okay, yeah.
Still, vanilla Kubernetes is a known challenge, right? It's a hit or miss. Or edge deployment, where people prefer or have to have a lightweight or small footprint deployment.
And there's now alternatives to Kubernetes to achieve that. So,
Yeah, and also, like, for example, if organizations, they want to have a mixed type of applications and really want to have one single unified, you know, orchestration or deployment workflow where Nomad support both, you know, existing and new applications. And also a lot of organizations, they just want to get their containers up and running. They focus on their mature production workload or customer-facing workloads has less dependency on the ecosystem, where they really appreciate or value the core kind of scheduling and orchestration capability that Nomad provide has less dependency on the other, you know, third-party tools. Then Nomad is a perfect fit, right? So they don't worry about the whole ecosystem. They can just focus on what Nomad really good, which is scheduling. And that naturally ties to the second kind of question, part of your question is that the ecosystem, right? This is make like Terraform become the standard of the provisioning layer and how we deal with ecosystem. So I think the first is to acknowledge that we will never be able to keep pace with Kubernetes. And I think a lot of users or organizations choose Kubernetes is because it's a thriving ecosystem, right? For example, if they want to do big data, serverless or AI, they can easily consume third-party, you know, open platform directly on top of Kubernetes, and we'll never be able to catch up with this. So our approach to ecosystem is we will pick working with like leading vendors in the most critical ecosystem component, right? Like monitoring, like CI/CD, we work with CircleCI or GitLab. So we choose one or two leading vendors in the critical ecosystem component to have provide a prescriptive approach or path to ecosystem instead of, you know, being able to cover the whole ocean, which is impossible for us.
Yep. A nice analogy with the ocean, because that's the whole Kubernetes Docker world, isn't it? So one thing that HashiCorp has usually done quite well, I think, as far as I know, as far as I can tell, is this kind of difference between what you offer for free versus what you offer for paid. And Consul is definitely open source as well. Nomad, I can't entirely tell if there's also an open source version or not, but we'll come to that. What are the two projects offering in the different flavors? Let's start with Consul, I guess, as that's the one I know is definitely open source, and then switch to Nomad. Like, what are the different offerings you have on the open source versus commercial?
Yeah, and I think I would describe there's the open source version, which we have many practitioners that enjoy OSS. We have a huge, you know, robust set of features for service mesh and service discovery for OSS users. We actually have two types of commercial offerings. We have what we call self-managed offering, which is, you know, can be run on any customer environment. But then we also released, we went GA a few months ago around our HashiCorp Cloud Platform, HCP, which is a managed service offering that takes away a lot of the burden, you know, for operators in terms of how do I manage all the infrastructure? How do I stand up the infrastructure? How do I do things like, you know, backups and upgrades and things like that? All of that is handled by a dedicated SRE team here at HashiCorp, and provide, you know, we provide that as a service. So those are the two commercial offerings. But in terms of the, you know, the enterprise types of capabilities, yeah, we have, you know, a number of customers that let's say you're a large customer and you have many different teams, right? So the way that this adoption journey kind of works is you start off with a handful of practitioners. They're free to use our OSS tools. Everything works great, but then you have a bigger team. You may have multiple teams. In fact, you may have a central IT group that's providing a shared service across many, many different types of teams. So you need, you know, certain features and capabilities around compliance and governance, even around, you know, performance and scalability and reliability as you start to deploy Consul across many different environments, right? So that's where the enterprise offering provides value, is for those environments where you have many teams and you have certain enterprise requirements around, you know, scalability and resiliency of the different applications, things like that, where they would use the enterprise offering.
Okay. And so with Nomad, does Nomad have an open source offering, or is it just the enterprise offering?
Nomad also have open source offering. And also,
oh, yeah.
This
now
is
I see the GitHub
apply for.
Yes.
Yeah, all HashiCorp products have open source offering. Not every product has the enterprise offering. Yep. It's the other way around.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. And so I'm guessing that the main benefits there would be self-hosted. You host, you manage, multi-cloud, these kind of things.
So Nomad currently doesn't have a cloud offering. That means it still has to be like customer self-hosted or self-managed platform. So our enterprise like offering focused on two parts. One is about once organization passed their day zero, day one, and when they're really focusing on day two, right, scaling drive more efficiency and scale their deployment, we offer the capability to support advanced day two operations. For example, dynamic application sizing, which is to help organizations optimize their application resource consumption to its most efficient level based on their own strategy. I think this is going to be the resource kind of over-provisioning for applications is a hidden cost that brought by orchestrator. I think it's only get worse as more organizations adopt this self-serve approach to allow developers, you know, define the resource consumption by themselves. It tends to, you know, lead to over-provisioning. I think that's an example where we talk about how day two capabilities drive higher efficiency, reduce cost. And another side is just like Ray described, when organizations expand the Nomad footprint, supporting multiple teams or multiple organized small groups inside, they want to have more control, compliance, you know, more governance around them. We provide governance and policy type of features to help them have better control, either in access or in resource.
Okay. Now, I actually received a comment and a question. One is agreeing with you. Yes, on-premise Kubernetes is a horror. One is a question, but unfortunately, it's mostly a Terraform question. So I don't know if this is really something. I think we could broaden the question. So the question was, is there a benefit of using Terraform with an on-prem managed cluster? As far as I've seen, it's only really worth it if you're in the AWS or any cloud. I mean, maybe we can abstract that question to Consul and Nomad. And maybe the question could be, you know, with Consul and with Nomad, do you lose or gain features sort of on-premise versus cloud offerings? And obviously I realize that on-premise can mean many different things, which is probably the one of the bigger problems. But yeah, are there any features that you obviously gain or lose in those sort of installation options? How about we start with Raymond and Consul?
Yeah, so for Consul, I mean, the same, you know, same issue exists whether or not you're on-prem or in the AWS or any cloud, which is I have some applications. I've spun it up either maybe across any number of virtual machines, which can be on-prem. I need to figure out a way to stitch those applications together in a way that doesn't involve, you know, new code entries. And, you know, for developers, you want to be able to make sure that there's some sort of abstraction layer that prevents all of this stuff from being written in code in the application. And so whether or not it's in the cloud or on-prem, it's the same types of, service networking features that are necessary to be able to do it reliably, you know, at scale, things like that. So yeah, I would say it's the same benefit from a console perspective. Yeah.
And with Nomad, I guess you're probably the more relevant to this question because you're probably orchestrating these different environments together.
Yeah, I think Nomad actually one of the biggest strengths is like it's bring the ease of use to on-prem too. It's like make it as easy to use as in the cloud for a lot of organizations. Mm-hmm. Also allow them, you know, for developers, it's almost transparent to them if whether they're deployed on-prem or whether they're deploying, you know, migrate that workload to a cloud environment. So operators, it's a small like reconfiguration for operators, almost transparent to developers. That's why we see like some customers even leverage that for like cloud bursting type of things, or, you know, migrate workloads from on-prem to cloud almost in a real time, like a downtime way. So
there must be some limitations there, surely. I mean, as I say, on-prem, maybe I'm being ridiculous here, but on-prem could be some person's old like Java server sat in a corner to a proper kind of server setup. You know, I don't know. Maybe those sorts of people don't come to tools like Nomad, but I don't know.
So I think one area right now is, for example, autoscaling, right? So Nomad launched Autoscaler last year, 2020. So right now we support the Autoscaler integration with all major cloud with their, autoscaling group like ASG or Google Managed Instance. But we haven't the same kind of out-of-box offering for on-prem. So I think eventually we'll get there, but right now this is something, you know, for a cloud deployment, it's probably easier to scale their deployment. Yeah.
And so let's just say you've just come out of HashiConf Europe. What were the new features that you both announced? Raymond,
yeah,
how about
you? Maybe from a console perspective. So we introduced, it's in public beta right now, but it will be in GA very, very shortly. It's our latest software release called 1.10. Mm-hmm. And one of the main features is something that we call transparent proxy, which allows updates to be made to service mesh. Whenever you add new services to the mesh, things like that, without any added modifications to the application. So that's a big deal for in terms of being able to prevent, you know, for unnecessary modifications in code and to allow the service mesh to handle all the different interactions of services. All of that is transparently done and intercepted within the Envoy proxy. But again, the core benefit is to prevent all this added modifications from being in the application. So that's one of the big features. The other big feature is streaming. Streaming is something we introduced in 1.9 as a way to improve what we call blocking queries, which is I think of blocking queries as sort of a queue of requests. To console that come in for different services that get added to the mesh, and so the big benefit there is overall resource efficiency, reducing CPU utilization, increasing performance. We just released about a month or two ago our scalability benchmark, and that was done. It was 10,000 nodes of console, 172,000 services, all updating service entries within 1 second. So it was really a proof point around scalability performance of console when used in a large environment. So those are the two big features with 1.10.
That's actually interesting. I remember doing those sorts of experiments years ago. Well, I say years ago, it was like 2015 or something, when you would see how much services could scale and just launch a ridiculous amount of nodes, and then they couldn't, nothing could really cope. Everything would come crashing to a halt. But I think now it actually kind of, there was usually too much network traffic. I don't know what we use for service discovery. Can't honestly remember. Nomad, Edge, was that, what was your main announcements?
Yeah, so Nomad 1.1 was just GA'd before HashiConf. Okay. So 1.1 really, yeah. So 1.1 is really about enhancing our core strengths, the improve the quality of life for operators, but also enable greater flexible scheduling capabilities. For example, I think one or two key features like memory oversubscription drive higher cluster efficiency and also help operators to, you know, to accommodate these spiky workloads where sometimes they want the long memory start point and then just drop significantly as it's going to the steady state. Then you really have to accommodate without memory oversubscription. You really have to accommodate for the worst case scenario. Then you leave a lot of idle resource, right? Can now be consumed by other applications. So we're now extending this memory subscription not only to Docker containers, but also, you know, like Java applications, other existing or legacy applications. Another improvement on scheduling capabilities about reserve CPU cores. These are particularly important, critical for like latency sensitive applications, which they don't want to, two multiple applications share the same CPU drive. For example, like gaming, online gaming, like Roblox, actually one of the company really can benefit from these type of features. Okay. So you can actually pin your application to an isolated, a dedicated CPU core to make sure their application performance.
Okay. And so what's next for your two projects? But also, what's next for HashiCorp? What's the next piece of the puzzle that the company is looking to fill, if you can mention it? Let's start with Raymond first. And yeah, what's coming next?
Well, I mean, you know, there's been a huge effort around cloud delivery in the form of the managed service offering. And, you know, we have that with ACP today, with Consul and Vault. Of course, we have that with Terraform as well, Terraform Cloud. But moving with Consul, I think what we're anticipating is more and more customers moving to more of a managed service model. Today, the offering is specific to a single region environment. And so one of the big feature offerings we're going to come out with shortly in a month or so or two is something that's would allow for multi-region support.
Okay.
And so this is, you know, environments where you need to start to stitch together multiple regions to do your service networking. And so that's going to be a heavily anticipated feature for, especially for larger customers. The other thing we announced as part of a tech preview is support for ECS. With Fargate, and that was something that we worked with AWS on. That is in tech preview today, but we will be GAing that in a few months as well. So that's a heavily anticipated capability for those ECS customers.
Before I switch to Chang, I actually had one other question come up. There was a problem with sometimes being semi-live is people come in at different times. But I don't think we explicitly mentioned this, so it's probably worth mentioning. So can you use the service mesh aspect of Consul in collaboration with other service meshes, or is it best kind of just using its own service mesh?
Yeah, so you know, there is an initiative out there called the SMI specification for interoperating multiple different meshes. It's not something we see widely used today. To answer the specific question today, you know, it's either or, right? So typically you would use either Consul as a control plane or Istio.
Okay. Yeah. And if anyone is interested, I have seemingly interviewed all of the major service meshes in the past like 3 weeks. So you can go back and look on the podcast feed or the YouTube channel and find interviews with Linkerd, Istio, Consul, and someone else in there somewhere. So okay. And Chang, yeah, what's coming next for Nomad?
Yeah, I think for Nomad, it's about still doubling down on our unique strengths, simplicity, and flexibility to really mature a lot of shiny, like big features we delivered last year, like CSI, CNI. No one implemented the whole spec, but we follow customers' needs or listening to what they want to help making sure we have the best integration with their top of the choice, either a storage solution or networking solutions. Auto scaling, you know, both vertically and horizontally, right? Driving higher efficiency, improve the scalability. And your last question is about what's the next piece for overall HashiCorp. I think that's a perfect question, and also put into the context with Nomad and Consul. Nomad and Consul is really kind of the infrastructure tool, but also eventually consumed by developers, right? Especially like, you know, orchestration allow developers to deploy their applications in a self-serve manner. Service mesh capabilities allows developers to be able to control traffic shaping, observability and measurement, all extended functionalities. It's all about how we optimize developer experience, help to build this application, new application delivery automation. And recently we launched another open source project, new open source project called Waypoint.
Okay.
So Waypoint, our vision for Waypoint is eventually that's the interface between developers and operators. So Waypoint is, think about this, today we have like organizations have Nomad deployed, and some different team may have Kubernetes deployed, and some other team maybe a different line of business decide to use like serverless functions and Lambda. Yeah. So eventually you will see there'll be a lot of runtime platform, there'll be a lot of cloud endpoints, and still they have legacy, right? So when we talk about application delivery, they have each runtime or each cloud endpoint have a different deploy and release workflow. It's diverged there.
They may
have a similar code and test experience, but it diverged when you're actually talking about deployment. So Waypoint is really about having a consistent, unified way to describe build, deploy, and release. So regardless whether you're working on a Java application.
Sounds a lot like Terraform as well, I guess.
Exactly. A great analogy. It's like how we bring the Terraform experience to the deployment application delivery workflow. Yeah, you just speak one language, but you support all the underlying technology.
Cool. I feel like I would love to talk to you more, but unfortunately we're going to have to wrap up, especially you mentioned one of my favorite terms at the moment around developer experience. I know HashiCorp has always been big into that and has, I think you have your own principles and things like that from memory. So anyone who's interested and hasn't heard of you before, which is probably not too many people who would listen to or watch, but it's HashiCorp.com. You can find the products pages. Yeah, all are available for open source versions to play with. And if you want to take it from there, then go ahead. But yeah, Chang and Raymond, thank you very much for joining me. I've always wanted to get some people from HashiCorp on, so it's good to finally have you. And I look forward to seeing what you do and what the company does next. So thanks very much.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
No worries.
Thank you.